The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Come on. Bacon.
Yes?
Yeah. All right, we're done.
Yeah, no more.
That's it.
Yeah.
That whole thing was a lead up to this. A bunch of no's. She wants to say yes.
Yes. Bacon.
What's your take on bacon?
It's kind of like the cheese question. Like all of anything can be okay. What does it look like in the rest of the diet? If we're having excessive amounts of bacon.
So what is excessive?
Yeah, we don't know. And
what's
that's,
your take?
It's interesting. Gosh, I love these theoretical questions.
Yes.
It's like,
we want to know what EC thinks.
I know. What's the limit? I don't know because I don't know what the rest of the diet looks like. But I would imagine that if you're having more than a couple pieces a day, the rest of the diet is probably pretty interesting.
We are here because we know the outcomes in our lives are within our control. That taking absolute ownership of how we eat, sleep, train, think, and connect with each other is how we'll optimize our health and happiness. That chasing excellence is how we grab hold of what is possible. Our mission is to live on the run, always chasing, never stopping.
Hello, guys.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
We are joined once more by our friend EC Sinkowski from Optimize Me Nutrition. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah.
For folks who maybe didn't listen to the first episode with you, we do a lot of sort of contextualizing of who you are, where you came from, mm-hmm. all that good stuff. But maybe very, very quickly, you could give us the sort of the 2-minute mm-hmm. version of who you are, what you do, what you focus on.
Yeah. EC Sinkowski, Optimize Me Nutrition, and I really focus on giving people the education, but more so solutions for them to reach their nutrition goals through just various educational products, online courses or audio courses, challenges, that type of stuff.
Got it. So today's episode, we're going to take a version of the 2-minute drill that we've done quite a few times.
Dun, dun, dun.
We are going to hand it almost entirely over to you though, Ben, because you have, knowing obviously that EC was coming, you were excited, you have a bunch of questions for her. So this episode is just going to be you running down a list of random-ish questions.
I'm on the other side now.
Yeah.
Yes.
So EC, as best you can, keep the answers within a 2-minute time frame. If you fail, I throw things at you.
Okay.
Just kidding, I won't do that.
And it has to be a little more than yes and no.
A little bit more.
It doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
It can be whatever you want.
Yeah, that's true.
As long as it's under 2 minutes. Because at 2 minutes,
I know.
You don't want to see what happens.
Okay.
So we'll throw it to you, Ben, and we'll go from there.
All right, we'll start with a super high level.
Yes.
If there was one thing and only one thing that someone could do from a nutritional perspective to improve their overall health, you don't know who this person is,
mm-hmm.
what would they do?
I would say the 800 gram challenge. 800 grams of fruits and vegetables by weight every single day.
Love it. Does blood work matter?
Yeah, blood work does matter. And I think if not only to know what's happening and to know if you're in danger, but also to serve as motivation. And you really see that with people that when they're able to see results, they can really kind of stick to a program.
And then what if it matters and they want to see results, what should they be looking at? Because somebody might get a profile mm-hmm. of 30 things, mm-hmm. what's the one or two things they should be kind of narrowing in on?
I do think our basic metabolic health panel, which includes fasting glucose and then also looking at sort of cholesterol markers, are a great place to be. They're really tried and true markers. We've looked at them over the years, and I know some of the limitations with them, but if you're falling within general kind of population guidelines, you're in a good spot.
Okay, cholesterol.
Yeah. Yes.
It exists.
Why does that matter? What is it? It's gonna be a challenge. 2 minutes.
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah.
Why does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
How does it get affected through nutrition?
Yeah. Fat and cholesterol get kind of confused in our nutrition because they actually travel together in the body. And so for fat and cholesterol to move throughout the body, they are moving together. And this is why they can be confusing and people will hear saturated fat and cholesterol. And yes, they're kind of are moving together on the same molecules. Only 2 minutes. Okay. Whew. Why does it matter? yes, you can have too much cholesterol such that it increases your risk for heart disease. And so, yes, we do care about there. But there's a lot of other factors that come into play. Things like, what does the rest of your diet look like? What are your genetics? Are you exercising? Are you eating too much? And so we can't just look at saturated fat content in your diet to determine if cholesterol is a problem or not.
And well, cholesterol in
food. 2 minutes.
Cholesterol in food. Like that's
right. Yeah. That
cholesterol
really,
in food cause cholesterol in your body.
No, it's more that saturated fat has a link to changing your cholesterol directly versus cholesterol in your food. Cholesterol in your food really doesn't move the needle much relative to how much cholesterol is in your body.
There's healthy saturated fats. Dot, dot, dot. Fill in the blank.
I would say it's all a matter of context, right? That's the problem with nutrition is once we start talking about a single nutrient, like just saturated fat, we've now lost the context that matters. Saturated fat in and of itself is not a problem, but it needs to be at the right quantity and within the context of a diet that has all the other nutrients, vitamins, minerals, anti-inflammatories, antioxidants we need.
Okay. Another fat, fish oil.
Yes.
So should we be taking it? Should we, is it important for us? Is it a thing that will drive our health?
Yeah.
Or is it snake oil?
I don't recommend it as a general recommendation. I don't take it myself. And again, it's because inflammation in the body does not come down just to whether or not you're taking fish oil. It's also what anti-inflammatories are in your diet. You know, what's your oxidant load? What's your vitamin and mineral status? If you're eating too much, it all comes back to these big picture factors, not just whether or not you're taking this one nutrient.
So?
No.
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 Okay. BCAAs?
No.
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 Maybe explain
branched
what that
chain
is.
Amino acids, yeah. A supplement that people take around exercise. Really, they take it to make their water taste better.
Yeah, that's true. It. Green and blue colored. leucine, isoleucine, and valine. So three of our amino acids. They are three of our 9 essential amino acids, which sounds great, but you can also get them all from food. And some of the research on kind of protein timing, I think, stretches it a little bit. And so you don't really need to worry about it that much.
Segue off of that one, you can get those amino acids through food. Mm-hmm. Do you have to get those through animal protein sources?
So there's
amino acids that are essential and non-essential.
Yep.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yep. So essential and non-essential. When you look at an animal source, they're going to be a complete source of these essential amino acids. When you look at a plant source, they're going to be incomplete. So when you look at beans or rice, they're incomplete. Now you can combine the plant sources, beans and rice, together to then cover your spectrum of all of them. Yes. And that's how, you know, vegetarians, they can be fine, assuming that you don't just do only beans. Mm. You know, you just mix your plant sources and you'll cover your bases.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Probiotics.
No.
Okay, tell me, okay. Probiotics are so popular right now. Like everyone's talking about probiotics.
Totally. I like the one word answer.
No, I like the one word question.
Which way does he want me to go with this? Probiotics, so you're basically taking the live microorganism. They are really cool and they have a lot of benefits when you are targeting a very specific condition or trying to be therapeutic in some way. Prophylactically or preventatively, no, you're better off eating whole unprocessed foods where you're basically feeding the gut microbiota by way of fiber and then those plant compounds, polyphenols.
Okay, then what about also feeding it like fermented foods? Mm-hmm. You hear about that all the time, like sauerkraut and kimchi, the Greek yogurt and kombucha.
Great.
Like we're all going to have that because you get the live microorganisms.
Yep. And they're not really considered probiotics. They'll often be advertised that way, but probiotic has a pretty specific definition and also, I believe, a dose standard. So oftentimes in sauerkraut and yogurt, you might not be at a therapeutic dose level, and it might not necessarily be the right organism to have a certain therapeutic effect. You can think about probiotics like Lock and Key. However, these colonic foods do provide fiber in many cases. They have a lot of the polyphenols again, and they also just have some overall immune modulating things that are good about them. So include them, but it's not like any more so than also just getting a high amount of fruits and vegetables in
your diet. So it's like, yes, go for it. But the reason might not be because they give these probiotic benefits.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more that it just is an overall healthy food than necessarily you're going to have a therapeutic effect.
Okay. Prebiotics.
Prebiotics are the fiber that your microbiota eat. So literally the fiber in your food, they eat them. Byproducts include short chain fatty acids like butyrate, which is known as an anti-inflammatory compound, and also byproducts like gas. but prebiotics, a definition of a true prebiotic really has a targeted effect. So you would take a certain prebiotic like inulin to up certain populations in your gut microbiota. I wouldn't necessarily go down that route by taking a very specific prebiotic. I would just take in fruits and vegetables that have fibers in them that are prebiotic-like effects, unless I had a true like diagnosed condition.
Pre-workout, post-workout, real food or supplements?
Yeah. Pre and post-workout.
You like how there's not actually a question? I'm just saying words.
Go. Yeah. Go. Pre and post-workout, I really think these things only matter if they affect your total quantity on the day. And I'm going to take kind of the athlete point of view of this. And we can take one of our high level, you can take Katrin, right? She works out multiple times a day. We have to make sure first that Katrin is getting enough nutrients in the day. And when you have multiple sessions and also, when you have multiple sessions, that's hard to like eat food all the time. So pre and post workout is going to be big for that. She also needs to make sure she does get enough carbs to hit the next session high enough. For most every other person out there, like they will have all of that refill and have enough time to eat and get all their nutrients in just across the course of the day. And therefore, I really don't have people focus on pre and post workout outside of a competitive environment. But it's more so, again, because of total quantity, not because of performance benefits.
So there's not much to meal timing around workouts for the average Joe or Jane.
No.
Okay.
I wish there was.
Intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
2 minutes.
2 minutes, go.
Is that how long she can't eat for?
Yeah. Oh, well done. Yeah.
I might be able to do that one. just a way to control quantity at its most basic level. You know, you just don't get to eat for as many hours during the day. So it's a really simple way to cut down on total amount of food. Do I think it outperforms just eating the right quantity anyway? I'd love to see a study that was comparing that. But it's a quantity control measure.
Plant-based, next thing would be vegetarian, next thing would be vegan. Follow-up to that would be, do we need, you kind of touched on this a little bit, but do we need animal protein?
Do we need, animal protein or just protein?
Yes, both.
Yeah, I mean, we need, of course, protein to some level. It is an essential nutrient, but how much do we need? And that really depends on your goals. You know, if you are just, I don't say just, but if it's longevity, there's plenty of cultures out there. I don't know plenty, but again, back to the Okinawans, they don't really eat that much protein and they live very long. So in terms of longevity, I don't think you need to worry about targeting program, but we are talking mostly to a CrossFit audience. And so, yeah, you're going to want to make sure that you have protein about 0.7 grams to 1.0 grams per pound of body weight, about somewhere in there. And it can be plant-based so long as you have enough sources that you cover all your amino acids.
What would be a good high quality plant-based pea protein?
Yeah. I mean, any of those isolated vegetable proteins, you know, the problem with vegetarian and vegan proteins when you don't have them in a powder form is that when you eat them as food, you have carbohydrates coming with them. So it's hard to get enough protein while keeping your carbohydrates in check. And so that's where you then have to start turning to these vegetable protein powders so that you can really get a concentrated protein.
Speaking of that concentrated, powdered greens. Mm. Like I can't eat all the kale and I don't like to eat all the kale, but man, I get a whole bunch of this. I get like 9 bushels of kale in my little juice drink.
So yeah, I mean, it's fine enough in the sense of it's of course not harmful, but my real question is why? Like one of the things that most people want with diet is to also lose weight. And to do that, we need to eat less than we currently are. And to do that means we're going to be hungry. So why not have some greens that actually fill you up and actually keep you full so that it's easier to stay on track and lose weight? When you have all this powdered and dried stuff, you end up eating more of other stuff. So I would stay away from that generally and just go for the whole food.
So it's not more benefit, but to get like a diversity. Like maybe I'm not eating, I don't like kale.
Sure.
And I want to get the diversity, or I don't like beets or all the other stuff. And, sure. You know.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than not doing it at all, but I also would just keep pushing people towards trying to eat whole foods with the water weight in them because, again, by default, we start affecting quantity, which is almost always the goal in nutrition.
Okay, maybe this is the same answer to a different question. But there's, you can have a sweet potato.
Yeah.
Or you can have sweet potato chips.
Yeah.
You can have mangoes or you can have dried mangoes. If you look on the back of the ingredient list, it's basically, it says,
totally,
it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's like the same ingredients. Mm-hmm. Like I'm going to have a sweet potato. I'm going to cook it. I'm going to put some salt in on it and some oil. Or whatever. Yep. And that's what it says on the back of the bag. Why would I not just go for these much easier, tastier chips than go through the effort of cooking it myself?
Yeah, it's that water weight. It's literally the water weight. It fills you up and therefore you eat less. And that's really, really powerful. Yeah, you can eat.
Can you give an example of that? What do you mean because the water weight you eat less?
Yeah, I did one of these Instagram posts, but a whole bag of chips, when I emptied out 8 servings of chips, that same kind of sweet potato, it was 161 grams by weight on a dinner plate. One cucumber is 161 grams by weight on a dinner plate. The bag of chips had 850 calories. The cucumber had 24.
Okay. So you're by
literally chewing water, you fill your stomach up. And that actually is a very
important process. So by having a bag of chips, you're going to have 800 calories,
850.
And then the cucumber, which 24. By weight and kind of like mm-hmm. satiety level, kind of in a mm-hmm. sense, you'd be feeling about the same. Mm-hmm. You'd have how many calories?
24.
A cucumber only has 24 calories in a whole cucumber? Mm-hmm. Okay. Dairy. What's your take on dairy?
What about it?
Yeah.
Dairy can, some people do have allergic or autoimmune responses for it for sure. So if you are somebody with one of that, take it out, but it definitely can be part of a good, healthy diet. Always remember having one food and one food only by itself to any sort of excessive level is not. And so we need to always include that dairy with fruits and vegetables, complete protein sources, et cetera.
Okay. If you're going to go for milk mm-hmm. or you're going to go for yogurt, mm-hmm. Low fat, skim, or the full fat version?
It kind of depends what your overall quantity is. You know, I've seen people who will, I've done it. Cheese, you know, you can have a lot of fat in one sitting because it tastes delicious. And so it's not the fat per se that's the problem. It's your overall quantity that could be. And that could then decide whether or not you should go for low fat or higher fat.
So say that, say it again.
Yeah.
Like how do I decide? Like, how do I... I'm going to go to the grocery store mm-hmm. and there's the two options of the skim milk or the whole milk. Mm-hmm. How do I know which one to get?
Milk's an interesting one because I actually think that it's a little bit more controlled. I'll take the cheese example. Like if you're going to go home and have easily 4 to 5 servings of cheese and you know that you also want to lose weight, you don't want the high fat cheese, okay. You know, and you could say the same thing with milk. I feel like
milk, though, you're having a glass of milk. It's like contained.
Yeah, yeah. You're kind of done with it, you know, but
I like to say that's the same thing about yogurt, but just not. Yogurt's kind of like peanut butter.
You can keep going.
You keep, it's like back when I used to have cereal, though, right? Like you used to have cereal and like there, you get done. You're like, oh, there's still some milk left. So you pour in more cereal and it fills up the cereal bowl. You're like, oh, I got more milk. And you're like, it's this never ending bowl. And you're like, oh my God, 3 boxes later.
You
wake up at a list like sugar coma.
College for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to your point though. I love the point about not keeping your environment clean. Like if you're going to eat too much of anything, then don't buy that thing.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. What about, speaking of not having too much of it, what about alcohol?
I'm drunk right now.
Alcohol can be part of an overall healthy diet.
Like the one glass of red wine a night makes you healthy?
I wouldn't say that it's... Okay, so we're not going to go after wine because of the resveratrol and say that it's... Because
of the what?
The resveratrol, which
right,
is one of the...
Right, that thing.
The popular anti-inflammatory. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, wine is the healthy thing and this is the explains the French paradox. No. But you can include it, of course, in moderation. For women, that ends up being one drink a night. For men, that can be 2 drinks a night.
Seems like a lot.
Doesn't really seem to affect mortality in the long.
Is that because of the healthy user bias, though? Like people that are drinking red wine every night probably also aren't getting McDonald's, and they're they're probably sitting down at a table, and they're probably eating prepared meals, and they're not.
That's the thing with all, and this goes back to our point in our last podcast about kind of looking at these studies that are observational, is we don't really know why the one glass of wine, like what else is going on in the diet. And oftentimes that can be the case for sure. The thing is though, it would never be something that I would say to include because of the resveratrol or whatever other compounds in it. Only if you enjoy it, it should be within the context of the right amount of quantity in a whole unprocessed foods.
I want to get healthy, so I should be doing juicing, right? Like juicing is a healthy thing. Does it have a place? Is it like a scam?
No, and it's similar to the chip question because Mm-hmm. Ultimately, you're changing the way that we would eat a certain amount of quantity. And so you're consuming or can consume more calories. First of all, liquid form. Second of all, you remove the fiber in the whole
chewing
process.
And why is liquid form bad, considering you just said it's about, you'd have the water weight?
Because you have to chew it and you have to go through that process. And that whole, like the fiber also helps with the filling and keeping your stomach full longer. So just the fact of food sitting in your stomach and a large amount of it helps keep you feel full, where like a liquid, it's moving through faster and therefore you're not full as long.
Come on. Bacon.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. We're done.
Yeah. No more.
That's it.
Yeah.
That whole thing is a lead up to this. A bunch of no's. She wants to say yes.
Yes. Bacon.
What's your take on bacon?
It's kind of like the cheese question. Like all of anything can be okay. What does it look like in the rest of the diet? If we're having excessive amounts of bacon.
So what is excessive?
Yeah, we don't know. And
what's
that's,
your take?
It's interesting. Gosh, I love these theoretical questions. Because
yes,
it's like,
we want to know what EC thinks.
I know. What's the limit? I don't know, because I don't know what the rest of the diet looks like. But I would imagine that if you're having more than a couple pieces a day, the rest of the diet is probably pretty interesting.
Okay, so under like kind of like the
yeah,
thing, sir, like,
yeah, two, three strips or whatever that yeah. is.
Okay, bread, healthy bread, grains.
Sure, I would say after
Ezekiel bread.
Yeah, Ezekiel, only Ezekiel. next question. after you've finished your 800-gram challenge, sure.
Okay, so you're saying that if it's if you're having the fruits and vegetables throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's say the 800-gram challenge.
Yeah.
But what if I don't want to weigh and measure?
Yeah.
So like I want to do the 800-gram challenge.
Yeah.
I want to have more fruits and vegetables. I believe EC when she says this is like the
healthy,
foundation
yeah.
of a healthy diet. But I'm not going to put things on a scale or
totally.
In a cup before I put them in my mouth.
Yeah. The good thing is most adult fists that are closed are about a cup. So you can use that as kind of a measurement of about a cup. And we know that 800 grams is about 6 cups.
A fist, like if I, like,
yeah.
the whole, that's a big, that's more than I thought.
Yeah. And that's about 100 grams. It actually ends up being a little bit more than that. But if you go for basically 6 closed fists of stuff a day, you'll get there just fine. And that, you know, to be honest, like treat a banana that size or treat a orange that size or an apple that size, it's about 100, 120 grams. You're going to get pretty close.
120 grams across the 800.
Yeah, like 100. Each fist is about 100 to 120 grams, depending on which, you know, the density of the apple or the orange.
Yeah, I thought you were saying it ends up being about 120 grams of carbohydrates.
Sorry. No, it ends up being about 100, yeah.
100, okay. Cheat meals, cheat days, should we always be spot on, or is there a place for some flexibility here?
Definitely flexibility. I mean, I think that's one of the things that I wanted in the 800-gram challenge was to allow people to continue to have things in their diet that they enjoy. The problem with cheat meals or cheat days is they often set back or undo a lot of the work that you did during the week to stay on track. And so, yes, you definitely can enjoy yourself, but it can't be excessively so. And what's excessively so if you're not reaching your goals in terms of losing weight or you're gaining weight?
Okay, so if we are good for Monday through Friday, and then on the weekends, we go off
pizza,
the rails so much
drink,
that you're essentially saying if our goal is to lose weight, but on when we get on the scale on Monday, we're higher than we were on Friday, then that's
totally
detrimental.
Or you do that like 2 or 3 weeks and you haven't lost any weight. It's because your weekend habits are stymieing all your work during the week.
So there's a recommendation then to go down to 1 day, one meal.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not going to do macros,
just
which
keeps you on the track.
If you don't want to do macros, which ultimately I don't think people need to do forever, but they are a great way to troubleshoot. If you're not going to do that, at the most basic level, you have to reduce the cheat meals and frequency of them. Yeah. And you can start with as gradual as possible. And then it might come down to just one meal, not one day.
Cool.
Fantastic. I think I was really good in that episode. I think that was my best. thank you so much, EC, for coming, talking to us, telling us, sharing all of your wisdom.
Awesome.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. You can get every episode of Chasing Excellence wherever you listen to your podcasts or on YouTube. Until next time, thank you for listening.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.